Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Full of frustration.
Silly mistakes again.
Full of despair.
I don't even know if I'll have a club tomorrow.
From years of hurt, disappointment, and relegation.
It could be League Two next season.
Bolton are down, Norwich are down.
Two British football fans have had enough. Canary bird Elliot Holman and wanderer Henry Hewitt are in search of glory.
Get in!
Pride.
Been a joy to watch.
Passion.
Nanny!
In search of silverware.
MLS Cup champions, baby!
And they found...
ATL.
Orlando!
Major League Soccer.
Welcome along to another MLS UK show. I'm Elliot Holman.
And I'm Henry Hewitt.
And I'm still unbeaten.
I'm not.
We'll talk other things, I promise. I promise.
This is the MLS UK show.
The MLS UK show with Lucid FC. A distinctively modern, casual fashion label. Take a look at lucidfc.us or lucidfc.co.uk and see why celebrities love the look. This season's current line is called What's Your Effing Club? Which is your F? Football? Fashion? Or film? If it's football, you're in the right place. Film, the MLS UK show podcast is now available to watch on YouTube. But fashion, it's always lucidfc.us or lucidfc.co.uk.
Hi, Henry.
Hi, Elliot. How are you doing?
I'm very, very, very well. How are you?
In my personal life or my football life?
Both.
Personal life's a lot better than my football life.
First of all, let's just find out how Bolton got on at the weekend. Of course, in League Two now.
Yeah, League Two. And two has been the magic number this weekend because both my sides lost 2-0.
Yeah, so Bolton. Where are you? Genuine question, because I haven't looked. Where are you in the table?
I've not looked as well, but we've not won yet. Not got a point.
Okay.
So
joint bottom.
Yeah, joint bottom of the Football League, which is our lowest ever position in our 140-odd year history.
So. I normally laugh, but I actually just feel a bit sad, to be honest.
Yeah, I felt sad on Saturday as well when I had to watch it. Like, I've paid £10 for this.
Yeah, and Atlanta?
Yeah, lost 2-0. Yeah, they're not in the playoff positions anymore. Not even in the playoff positions.
There's been so many games that I'd, like, without looking, I can't be across everyone and every team. Since we last did the podcast, what's the Atlanta situation?
Beat Dallas yeah. in the week, and then all that good work went to waste. We lost to Chicago 2-0, but that's 3 points in the last two games, so it's getting better.
You take that in the season you're having.
If our average points is one throughout the season, we've now got 1.5 in our last two games, so it is getting better.
Okay. I'd like to, in a bit, we'll go through, because it's been a couple of weeks since the last podcast, there's been a few shocking results that I'd like to address. So I've put a circle around a few of them. So we'll get to those in a bit. But first, Shall we start with the game with the change in name?
Go on then.
I've got a good one for you today, and I've already tried and tested it on some Watford fans who are MLS fans as well.
Right.
And they got it spot on. So we'll see if you can get this one. Born in 1982.
Wow, okay. So he will probably be retired now.
Yes. Right. Started his career with Leicester City from 1999 to 2005. Played 110 times for Leicester.
Okay.
6 goals. Not a striker.
No.
They went to Bristol Rovers on loan. They also played 105 times for Watford between 2005 and 2008. Also played for Derby 26 times, Sheffield United 23 times. They went to a team in 2010. I don't know what the team... I'd never heard of the team, so I'm going to click on it. They're a Greek professional football club called Skoda.
Oh, right. Okay, like the car.
Yep. And they also played for Notts County, Coventry City, and crucially, 71 times in MLS. But who are they?
Oh, I don't even know where to start with that, because my knowledge of football, especially within England, it's probably at its best around the time, like, because as a kid, we all know the most about football.
Yeah, you've got nothing else to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. So I would say Leicester's probably where I would probably know him more.
Yeah, 110 times.
But I don't have a clue, actually.
Also, Watford, 105 appearances for Watford between 2005 and 2008.
Watford weren't in the Premier League then,
no.
So... yeah, I don't have a clue. I'm going to have a think about that one.
Okay, 71 appearances in MLS between 2013 and 2016.
Right, okay.
If you think you know, drop us a tweet at MLS UK Show, or you can slide into our DMs if you don't want to go public. We've also got an Instagram page as well, at MLS UK Show. Don't cheat, though. Don't wait. Don't go to the end and then tell us, because we'll know.
Yeah, we'll reveal all at the end. Right then, so this week in MLS, let's get cracking. Let's get it over with as soon as we can. So you've circled some interesting results that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
What's the first one?
Well, there's a couple of teams that have been all over the shop. Vancouver is one of them. Obviously, had
you
a
sound surprised by that.
Well, they've had a terrible start to the season. They were quite consistently bad.
Yeah.
But then they went and beat Montreal 3-1.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So Vancouver started to turn it around. Seattle showed a bit of dominance over LAFC, which I thought was a big result. They were at home. It was 3-0, and LAFC, again, just faltering a little bit this season, you feel?
Yeah, we seem to discuss this on every episode, is that they just hit very hit and miss, yeah. LAFC. Last night, they got beat to LA... they lost to San Jose, last night,
yeah.
Which is a very surprising result, because San Jose have got better over the last 12, 18 months, but still, especially being 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go, you would expect LAFC to see that out. Bob Bradley did not look impressed at the end of the game. LAFC, yeah, they should make the playoffs. You'd fancy them too, but I really think they're missing Carlos Vela at the moment.
Sorry to mention it. The next one I've circled, I've not done it for anything against you, because the other team I'm not particularly enthralled by either. Atlanta United 1, Miami 2. It's a home defeat to Miami. Are you feeling any kind of rivalry there? Because there was kind of an Atlanta-Orlando rivalry. They're only just below Orlando in the same state. What are you feeling? What are your feelings towards Miami?
On a personal view, I like Miami. I like what they're doing. Mm. You are obviously rivals with them, being an Orlando fan.
Yeah.
So naturally, I would want them to win anyway. So yeah, I don't have any beef with Miami. I would love them to be a star name within MLS, especially the signings they've made, Matridi, Higuain. So yeah, there's no beef there. But for Atlanta's home form has been so poor, and that's what Atlanta have lived off the last few years. You can guarantee if you're going to win at home, they'll probably win 4 or 5-0. They've got the players to do it. And that's what keeps them at the top. And the home form this year has just been shocking. So that's why they're not even in the playoffs at the moment.
Another team all over the shop, New York Red Bulls, they also lost at home to FC Cincinnati.
Yeah, but they have turned it around, though. Some great results in the last two games. So we're going to talk about New York Red Bulls,
yeah,
and their potential managerial appointment a little later on. And it seems that if that managerial appointment happened now, then that guy's under a lot of pressure because they've won the last two games 4-1.
Don't ruin it. We mentioned Vancouver. They had another good result away at RSL. They won 2-1. And you start to think, do you know what? Vancouver
no,
on the up.
No.
They're on the up. I'm telling you.
No, you can't I'm telling too you. Much into that. And to be fair, last night, 0-1 against Portland is actually for Vancouver quite a good result.
Yeah. Well, considering Portland put 6 past San Jose. This is the next match I wanted to talk about. Portland 6, San Jose Earthquakes 1. San Jose at home getting hammered again. What is going on there?
And then you go and win against LAFC. That's why we love MLS. We can't predict it. But San Jose, we've mentioned this before as well. They've become, it seems like all their good work that they've put in over the last 18 months. And yeah, it's difficult for everyone. It's difficult for every team. It's just all up in the air at the moment. And I think that's what's helping these results is that no one's going on, apart from Atlanta, no one's going on a horrific losing run or not winning games. Because they're winning 1 week and then they'll lose in midweek and then win again. And it's so exciting. But San Jose, I'd still fancy them to have a strong end to the season. There's something there. And hopefully for them, this LAFC result will take them on there.
This is the good thing about MLS is that you're always still in it. Like last season, Orlando had a terrible run of form. And then it wasn't until like 2 games to go that they were officially out of the running for the playoffs. They could have still easily made the playoffs. Home losses seem to be the surprising thing at the minute. Miami lost 4-1 to New York Red Bulls.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that because Red Bulls they've improved the last few weeks, but they still were there for the taking, especially to lose 4-1 at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very disappointing. And then Miami followed it up with a 3-0 defeat to Philadelphia. Obviously, Higuain had a bit of a nightmare for his debut. I was surprised. If you would have told me, even though Philadelphia and Red Bulls are two good sides in MLS, if you'd have told me aggregate score, they'll lose 7-1, I'd have been very surprised by that.
San Jose conceded 11 goals in the space of a few days. They lost 5-0 away at Colorado. It really, really does seem like they're on a terrible run of form. And after Vancouver's upturn, they then got hammered 6-0 by LAFC.
And this is the thing with LAFC as well, that they win 6-0 one game and then they get beat at home to San Jose the next game. But I think at the moment in the East we have the top 4 and then the rest are just fighting out for the other places. West is a bit more there's a bit more in it, there's a bit more to in and throwing to come, but I think at the end of the regular season you'll find that the cream will rise to the top and we'll get the likes of LAFC, maybe LA Galaxy, Seattle will stay there with Portland. We'll get the better teams in that conference just eventually make the way to the top.
Interestingly, on the last podcast, we mentioned how the West was a little bit stronger. Most of the teams from the West when you look at the Shield, where both conferences were together, the Western teams were on top. That's now not the case. Because we've had 3 or 4 games since we last did a podcast. It's dominated by the East. You've got Columbus, Philadelphia, Toronto, Orlando, all above the Western teams now. Seattle, of course, the first Western team to appear, tied on points with Portland, 24 points. There's 6 points off Columbus.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? But I think that's because the West have all been playing each other and the East have all been playing each other. So if the West is stronger, naturally, there's going to be...
take more points off each other.
Yeah, whereas the East quite clearly are 4 standout teams and the rest are just doing what they want to do.
I've picked one game out from last night before we move on that I think we should address. Higuain started for Inter Miami and they're away. So going away to Philadelphia Union, Subaru Park, different place to go.
A very wet Philadelphia.
Yes.
To find out.
But they lost 3-0 and Higuain skied a penalty.
Yeah. Well, I said it was a nightmare debut, wasn't it? I was watching Red Bulls last night versus Montreal. And so because of the different times they kicked off, I could watch a bit of the Philadelphia game during halftime. And yeah, Higuain, for me, in the bits I saw, didn't really have much of a game. And you could tell when he missed that penalty, and I know Philadelphia players were jumping around and stuff, but the way he reacted, you could tell he seemed very frustrated last night. And hopefully for Miami, they'll sort that out, get the ball to him a bit more. And he'll be able to do a bit more than what he did, but he did seem very frustrated.
It was February. This is a strange thing to bring up, but I saw the highlights from the Philadelphia game last night when they played Miami. And the thing that struck me more than anything, I'm still not on board with the kit.
Miami's kit?
When I saw Higuain in that, why is it shiny? It looked, when it was wet, it looked awful.
Yeah, he looked very see-through, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, it was like, I don't know, like a Superman outfit.
I haven't got one. What is that texture?
Is it silk? It seems like a bit
looks,
silk.
Yeah, wet silk. It's not a road I want to go down on a family show, to be honest with you. But yeah, it just really stood out to me. And I saw Higuain, like, shirt all stuck to him because it was soaking wet. And he just, I don't know. And can we get a sponsor on that? It looks weird.
I like it. I like sponsorless kits. I look at the, here in the UK, if there's like a gambling sponsor or an alcohol sponsor, you don't put it on kids' kits.
Yeah.
And I do look at them and think...
Yeah, Huddersfield haven't got a sponsor.
Yeah, I wish I might lose a bit of weight and just try and get into an extra extra large kids' top because they do look better.
I mean, mate, you're looking trim these days, but it's a long way to go. It's a long way to go to getting a kids. Miami, I know that Higuain will be big for them. I know he will, but it's just another example of us getting it so wrong because we did say he'd come in, he'd make an immediate impact.
Well, one game. Come on, give him a chance. But I see what you mean.
Well, we said the same about LA Galaxy and their signing, but it's not exactly been a success.
No, another game without a goal for Chicharito last night. We see LA Galaxy fans on social media. They're very vocal and they seem very frustrated at the moment just because of it's another example of a year where a player's come in and it's just not clicking and they're not at the top. And Chicharito, he scored one goal against Portland in the MLS's back tournament and that's it.
One thing we did touch on last episode is that because it's a strange year, things are all over the shop. There is a chance that a random team, well, not a random team, but maybe a slight underdog could win. Maybe your Minnesotas, your Orlandos. I'm thinking of some of the weaker teams normally in the East. I think we're being proved correct. Everyone, you know, look at the LA sides. Normally, you know, big forces. Seattle's the only team for me that look really, really like they're just always there.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
Portland as well, but Seattle in terms of one since I've been involved in MLS. Just always there, just consistent. Brian Schmetz are doing a great job.
Yeah, was it 10 years, 11 years in a row now they've made playoffs? So it's what they consistently do. And you'd be, put it this way, if you're going to bet on a side at the start of the year, each year, you might as well just bet on Seattle because you're going to be there or thereabouts. Mm. And they're proving it again and they're getting some really good results. Like we talked a few weeks ago about this new fixture layout. This season has been beneficial for some teams and not so much for others.
Yeah.
Seattle really were putting quite a tough group of teams. Like the LA teams are in their group.
Yeah.
They had Portland as well. And they've come out of it on top of the conference. So they're smashing it. And now you'd think going into playing teams who aren't the LA teams or Portland as much and playing the sides that now you'd fancy them to beat, they should have a strong end to the season. And yeah, they're becoming our picks for to win the thing.
One thing I want to shout out is Minnesota for going after Kai Kamara. That is a very, very, very good signing.
Yeah, eighth MLS team he's now played for, Kai Kamara.
Absolute journeyman. I have said for a long time, I'm sure if you go back on the podcast, I've said it. Last year, I wanted Orlando to make the move for Kai Kamara. A few SKC fans tweeted me and said that that's a terrible idea, you know, he's this, he's that, but the guy scores goals. And with Dom Dwyer out injured, we've only really got Tesha Akindele, but he's mainly been played on the wing in the last few years. we've only really got Daryl DK, who is brilliant, by the way, but is 18 years old and inexperienced, and I feel could learn so much from Kai Kamara. I almost wanted us to sign Kamara not just for the fact that he will score goals, but because DK learning from Kai Kamara as a big unit up top would be so, so beneficial. And I'm a little bit gutted that it's been taken off the table, because still I think that's the area that Orlando need to strengthen in, even though they're kind of doing all right.
Are you only wanting this because he played for Norwich?
No, genuinely.
Are you sure?
Look at his record. I mean, he only scored like once for Norwich. It was a great time. I remember it well. Great goal. I was there, Everton at home. Didn't have a clue who he was at that point. I said, who's this guy? Kansas? They ain't got a team, have they? but in all seriousness, wherever he goes in MLS, he scores goals, and that's what Orlando are missing. And I think, you know, he's quite clearly a player that's prepared to travel around, prepared to move. And I just think it would have been a great move, even if just for a season. But yeah, gone to Minnesota, and that's a really good move.
Minnesota have made one in particular, really big signing, like DP signing. And then they're bringing in Kai Kamara. How are you seeing Minnesota? What's when you look at them, what is their ambition? What's their goal? And what's their plan for the squad? Because they seem to be mixing it around a bit.
They get stronger and stronger and stronger. Literally every week, whether it's adding a player or a big result or grinding out a performance, grinding out a result when maybe, you know, they had to really work for it and they were up against it a bit. They beat a big team. I really, really think that if they continue on this path, if they continue to progress at the rate they are, you know, whether it's every week a result, a signing, whatever, if they continue to progress at this rate, they're going to be lifting silverware in the next couple of years, undoubtedly. The stadium's great. Adrian Heath knows what he's doing. They got pretty far in the MLS's back tournament. So you're looking at tournament form ahead of the playoffs. I think they're a really good squad.
Yeah, they are one of the sides who, and it's a shame for them, really. I think because they're in the West and they're having to come up in the playoffs, they'll come up against the likes of Seattle, and I think it's a shame for them. However, they are one of those sides that, you're right, if they put it together, if they put some form together in the playoffs, they could easily get to the final, of at least the conference final, and then it's one step closer. It's that taking steps every year, because we'd all love to, as a new franchise side, you'd all love to do like an Atlanta or an LAFC and get do really well very quickly. But Minnesota have just done it in their own way, and they made the playoffs last year. They've made like the latter stages of US Open Cup, and you're right, you know, it's a building process, and if they can get to the playoffs, you wouldn't bet against them going quite far in it.
I think you just raised a really good point as well. In hindsight, and I admit I wasn't saying this at the time, when teams like, I use Atlanta as an example because they arrived very quickly, they signed a lot of good players, spent a lot of money very well, but they haven't managed to hold on to those players. I know Joseph's injured. Teams like Minnesota, who are just slowly building, gradually building, players that aren't probably going to be leaving left, right and center. I almost feel like that in hindsight, I know they haven't won anything yet and Atlanta have, but in hindsight, that might be a really, really good move. They're getting stronger and stronger and it doesn't look like they're about to be torn apart. Whereas I feel like Atlanta were always quite vulnerable of that, but you only kind of saw it in hindsight. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, Atlanta... now, again, hindsight's great, and now you can look and think, well, did Atlanta have a plan B?
Yeah.
Possibly not, because their plan A was Jose Martinez still being fit and would still get in the playoffs. He's injured. Where's the plan B? Minnesota, yeah, they have built, and it's really good to see from the outside, and they're a team that, and I think this is the benefits of not having like promotion and relegation in MLS, because it allows teams to build. Nashville are another side, they're coming into it at the same time as a side that's into Miami, who are going to get all the headlines, yet Nashville are a side who we could see actually building, slowly building, getting a new stadium and being like Minnesota, and you either do it one way or the other, and it looks like eventually, after a few years, it's the tortoise and the hare. Tortoise eventually catches up.
Elliot Holman, Henry Hewitt.
MLS UK show.
Okay, how do you fancy a little game of the Jason Christ is Right?
It wouldn't be an MLS UK show without it.
So off the back of Higuain making his debut for Inter Miami as the highest paid player in MLS, taking over, I believe it was Kaká and Zlatan who previously had the highest salaries. I thought we'd have another game of Salary Crisis is Right.
Okay.
You ready?
Go on.
Henry Hewitt, come on down! Oh, yeah. Okay, so we'll start with Jozy Altidore.
Right.
He earns $6.3 million.
That'd be nice.
Higher or lower, his teammate, Alejandro Pozuelo.
I'm going to go lower.
It is lower, 3.8 million. When Rooney was in MLS, did he earn more or less?
More, surely.
It was less, 3.5 million.
Wow.
Josef Martinez, higher or lower than 3.5 million?
Oh, I'm going to say higher, surely.
It's lower. Oh. It's just over 3 million. Let's go to Ignacio Piatti.
Lower?
It's higher, 4.4 million.
I'm not doing well.
This is where you see the strange moves that teams make, isn't it? Carlos Vela, higher or lower than 4.4 million?
Oh, it's going to be higher, surely.
It is higher,
yes.
6.3. Michael Bradley's old deal, higher or lower than 6.3?
His old deal, So was Altidore 6.3 as well?
Yes.
Oh, so it could be around that mark, but I think it'd be slightly lower.
Is higher.
Oh, no.
What a dismal performance. You're normally really good at that game.
It's literally a 50-50 chance.
Yeah.
And, that was a shame. But there's some interesting stats, though. The Wayne Rooney one surprised me.
Yeah, Schweinsteiger's up there as well. Chicago last year, the money they spent on wages is frightening for what they actually achieved. It's awful.
Yeah, and they've lowered the wage. And they're still in a similar position. So what was the point in spending all that money?
Yeah, and they've lost Pauno as well.
Yeah. To Reading, who are playing really well. Have you seen this? They're top of the league, aren't they?
Don't. Again, another reason why you should never listen to me. I mean, let's be honest. It was bang average at Chicago. It was the definition of bang average.
Well, we're spending all that money on players, like you just said, for them to finish where they were after
so
year.
Poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So poor. And we said, when he went to the championship, we said we're really pleased that an MLS manager has been given a chance, a coach has been given a chance in the championship in England, but sort of like an anyone but him. I mean, like, come on, he's not going to represent MLS very well in the championship. They've won 3 out of 3. They're top of the league.
Yeah,
go on, Reading.
Yeah, they're playing very well. Like, I've been keeping my eye on it, and I think they've done okay in the cup competition as well. But 3 out of 3 in the league. And do I think Reading are going to continue to get promoted? Probably not. But to be top of the league at this stage, when you compare them to teams that have dropped out of the Premier League, who are on 4 points, is it? So 5 points more than some teams that have dropped out of the Premier League. So, yeah.
Good don't come at me about my football team, because we can talk about League Two.
No one like
the League Two UK show. Bottom the bottom,
joint bottom, not quite bottom. Elsewhere in the championship, this is big news. Saviski's kind of broke for the last few days. We don't know if this is just rumour. The manager, the Barnsley's manager, actually said the other day in his press conference after their game, he said, "I'm not talking about anything." Gerhard Stuber, I think I've said that right. Now, as we know, Poppy does the kit reviews. Her family's from Barnsley. They're all Barnsley fans. So I do keep an eye on Barnsley. And this would be a very interesting appointment, because there were quite a few English teams looking at him in the close season. That hasn't materialised. He's still at Barnsley. But now New York Red Bulls are apparently interested.
Yeah, again, I like to see the parity between the Championship and MLS. In your opinion, where does the Championship sit next to MLS?
Well, I watched the EFL highlights on Quest. I turned off towards the end. I didn't
obviously
didn't want to watch that mess that was Bolton, but I did watch the Championship ones, and they were saying, with respect to them, because sometimes, as we know in England, like there's a bit of a view of MLS that it's a retirement league or it's not a serious league or whatever, but they were actually treating it very seriously. They were saying that they were calling New York Red Bulls a big club. They were saying this would be a great move for him. And then they actually said, well, where would you rather live, Barnsley or New York? Which I put on our Twitter the other day on MLS UK show, Barnsley's lovely, but it's no New York. So I think the Championship compared to MLS is, I think it's of a similar level. If you take whoever wins MLS, so Seattle Sounders, put them in the Premier League, they're probably going to be where a side that would have been promoted from the Championship would be. So I'd say they're similar, and I think we're seeing that now with the managerial appointments.
I really want to see some friendlies played between between two teams. I'd love to see Norwich take on LAFC. I just like, I really want to see it. I want to see Watford. Let's have a yellow derby. Watford taking on Columbus.
Yeah, or Nashville. Could you... how would you take it? Could you deal with if Norwich played into Miami and lost?
They've got an affiliation with... do you know what? Tampa Bay Rowdies, that's it. They've got... they're just dead to me, so I forgot. Norwich have got an affiliation with Tampa Bay Rowdies, which does hurt me.
Yeah.
It does hurt a lot. I just imagine if Norwich and Orlando... Oh, stop it. It would just be a dream. I don't think there's much chance of Bolton... doing much with Atlanta?
No, maybe. Well, not even Atlanta too.
Oh no, they're way better than Bolton.
Yeah. So, this is interesting then that you mention MLS compared to the Championship, because we're seeing at the moment a lot of, and we've not really discussed this in detail, but there's a lot of MLS players that are now coming over to Europe.
Yeah,
and we've always said like the Portuguese league and stuff like that is probably on par with MLS. I would say that parts of MLS and some MLS teams are really...
Nani said that when he moved.
So much better than the Portuguese league or the Dutch league and stuff like that. So the big three then, we've got Brendan Aaronson. This hasn't been confirmed yet, but strong rumours that it's about to happen to Salzburg, Red Bull Salzburg in Austria, which I don't really watch the Austrian league. And apart from Salzburg, I don't know any teams in that league. So I'd say that MLS is better than that. But we do know that it's an easy route into the big leagues to go through Austria. Brendan Aaronson is a star of MLS, a rising star of MLS. I would love to see him a few more years in MLS, but as we've seen with like McKenzie at Juventus, this is a great way to build the league in other countries.
Yeah, I'm quite greedy because I like players like Aaronson. I like him to stay. I'd like him to stay in MLS. And if he is going to move, I want him to move to the UK where we can watch him and track his progress, like Jack Harrison, for example. I mean, it's great for the players. They kind of need that stopgap. You rarely just go... I know Zach Steffen played for Manchester City the other night. Mm. You don't tend to just do that. You tend to have a stop in Germany or Austria.
Steffen was on loan, wasn't he, last year.
I kind of get it, but I'm just being greedy. I'd like him to stay until maybe he could make a move to a Premier League team, or maybe we can just have him at Norwich. But a great prospect. And Philadelphia, we do give them a lot of credit. They're a great, great club, and they're producing a lot of homegrown talent.
Yeah. Do you think then that this sort of feeder league is what MLS needs to be now before it can sort of properly assemble itself as... because it seems to be take South American players, pass on American players to Europe, and it seems where it is now. So is this sort of period of MLS, is this what's needed? How do you see MLS coming out the back of it?
I think so. I think you have to be honest, you have to know where you stand, kind of know your role in the way that things are working. Things have definitely changed in the last 5 years since I've been watching the league. It isn't a retirement league. Anybody who says, oh, it's never been a retirement league, it was. I'm sorry, but it was. I still fell in love with it anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I think we're definitely in a new era. But again, you can't run before you walk. You have to know where you stand, and you need the money coming in from these European teams so that you can invest it wisely. If anything, I think to get to the next stage, I think we need a change in rules. I think there's too much of a gap between the DPs
on $6-7 million a year, and the kids coming out of college, there kind of isn't much in the middle. I'd like the salary cap raised so that we can maybe get some more, not middle of the road players, but some players that are of an ability that you can afford to pay without putting them on a DP DP wage, and I think that would improve the league a lot. So yeah, I think it's just about knowing where you are. It's on a massive growth, you know, at the minute. And as long as they continue to create players, American players coming over to Europe, doing really well, it's only going to help the league and its reputation, because we are seeing it shift here in the UK. That's the thing as well. Yeah. You know, we're very used to it getting a hammering, and now all of a sudden, coaches top of the championship, you know, players or managers from the championship moving over to America. We are starting to see a lot more. So long may that continue.
Elsewhere, Albert Elise left Houston to go to Boa Vista, where he'll be joining Reggie Cannon as well. So Boa Vista clearly are looking at MLS. That's their route that they're taking. And yeah, it's apparently, I was listening to, I think it was on Extra Time podcast. Mm-hmm. He had a Portuguese expert on there, and he was saying that Boa Vista are looking to rise back up the Portuguese league. And this is a route that they're taking in players for MLS that are a bit cheaper and doing it that way. Albert Elise has been what is Houston's best player. He's been probably arguably the best player they've ever had at Houston. So how much are they going to miss him? And he's only 24, so is he someone you could see make it into one of the five big leagues?
I'd really like to see it. I think Boa Vista's definitely a stepping stone for him, because I don't see them from a UK perspective, I don't see Boa Vista being any better than Houston Dynamo, because obviously we know a lot more about Houston than we do Boa Vista. I definitely think he's a player that, you know, at 24, has got another couple of years to really make an impression, and he could easily be playing in one of the big leagues. Mm. Alphonso Davies, of course, remains, you know, almost the shining star. That's the way that he has established himself in Germany is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he will get offers from UK clubs 100%, because he's been exceptional. And there's been calls after Richie Larea's performance last night for Bayern to make a move and get the Canadian wing backs back together. Maybe he could be playing right back with Alphonso at left back. Who knows? Almost as if Bayern haven't got a good right back. I don't know.
exactly, yeah. So, so this is going to be interesting looking at this now, because I think it's kind of, it's a bit, Alphonso Davies has made it a bit of a fad for European clubs to come and take the better young players from MLS. So it'd be interesting now to see, A, how it continues and how quickly a player is going to, because Alphonso Davies had what? Half a season, a season. So Aronson's had half a season. So it's going to be interesting to see how soon these players have been snapped up. And then secondly, then how they then progress. And because I'm sure some will like Alphonso Davies, will go to a massive club within Europe and just have a wonderful career. Mm. Some will come to a Portuguese side, won't do anything, and then go back to MLS. So it'd be good to see, but I think it will be better for the league. Even those players that leave and come back, it will be better for the league, because you learn more, different cultures and stuff like that, different ways of playing. I think it's beneficial for the league, and it's great to see.
The MLS UK Show.
Coming up on the MLS UK Show, we'll be looking at the games we're looking forward to in MLS within the next 10 days, 2 weeks, and we'll also have the answer to the game with a changing name, who I still don't have a clue who it is. But first, it's another round, another trip on my guide to North America. I put this out on our MLS UK Show Twitter page, did a little vote, and Kansas City won the vote. So, Elliot, it's time for Henry's Guide to Kansas City.
Kansas, of course, famous for its country music.
I don't know, we're getting closer to where it's famous. Hey, Elliot!
Hey, Henry!
Did you know Kansas City is the 29th most populated metropolitan area in the UK? In the US, I should say, with a population of 491,000 people.
Imagine if I did know that. Imagine.
Although there are technically two Kansas cities, one in Kansas and one in Missouri, but that's because the state line goes through the middle of Kansas City. So there's technically two, but there's really one. So an example of how crazy this is SKC playing Kansas.
Yeah.
Yet Kansas City Chiefs, the NFL team who made the Super Bowl last year, play in Missouri.
That's ridiculous.
The state of Kansas is probably best known for Wizard of Oz. And there is a Wizard of Oz museum in Wemega. I hope I said that right.
Wemega?
Wemega.
Say it with confidence and it'll be fine.
Wemega. Kansas City has 200 fountains, giving it the nickname of the City of Fountains, and has more barbecue restaurants per capita than any other city in the US.
Oh, do you know what? Of all the places, the barbecue restaurants, that's swinging it for me. I might visit.
Well, how about these two? So these two final facts are really good. These two are being put up there with the actual the Kansas City being in two states facts. So
okay.
This is a, if you're fact fans, you're going to love this one this week. The first one is the Happy Meal was invented in Kansas City.
Oh, yes.
Bob Bernstein got the idea when he saw his son eating some cereal and just staring at the box board.
Wow.
And finally, Walt Disney opened his first animation studio in Kansas City, and then after seeing a real-life mouse in the building, created Mickey Mouse. So Mickey Mouse was created in Kansas City.
I feel like I actually knew that, and I don't know why.
And that is Henry's Guide to Kansas City. Well done for voting for that one, because I really enjoyed that one.
That was
week.
Good. Where do we go next?
Well, we do it alternate. I'll let the people decide and then I'll let you decide. So it's your chance, your turn.
Ooh.
Where do you want to go next time?
Put me on the spot. I'll tell you what, I'm going to flick through the table. I'm going to do a random one. Ready?
Okay.
Let's go to... Oh, we've done that one. That's awkward. Colorado.
Colorado. So we'll be in Colorado. Off the top of my head, Colorado. Denver, Colorado, home of South Park. So there you go.
Yeah.
I saw this. This is
anything about the Rapids at all? Or?
Oh, yeah, Rapids, of course. But Denver Broncos in NFL. Do you know, because teams are having the cardboard cutouts?
Yeah.
They just filled their stadium with characters from South Park.
Great.
At the weekend. I saw that. Next time it's Henry's Guide to Colorado. If you know anything about Colorado that isn't South Park related and want me to mention it, or if you are from Colorado and want to big it up, give us a shout. hello@mls.show. Send us an email.
Things I know about Colorado. Rapids.
Yeah.
96.
Yeah.
Dick's.
Dick's Sporting Goods. Pack. You've got to clarify that.
I went in a Dick's in Orlando. It's great.
What is it, anyway?
Exactly what it says on the tin, sporting goods. It's like a... I'll translate for UK viewers and listeners. It's like JJB.
Ah, right.
Remember that?
Yeah, JJB, yeah. So it sells like...
Everything.
Yeah, everything sports related.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Dicks.
Moving on very quickly. This coming weekend and this coming week in MLS, more MLS action to come. Mm. It's coming at us thick and fast.
There's too much.
I know.
Make it stop.
Well, there's never too much, but it is a bit too much.
Especially, it's quite a lot.
Especially when you do a fortnightly podcast about it. Stuff moves on so quickly. What games are you looking forward to? Who are Orlando playing first of all?
Orlando have got Red Bulls.
Right.
I think it's actually technically the next game because they play early at the weekend. That's on telly here in the UK. If you're struggling to find a few games to watch, it's on nice and early on telly. And actually, do you know what? That's going to be an interesting game because Orlando on a really good run and Red Bulls all over the shop. Who knows what could happen there, to be honest with you?
It is, and I'm glad that the Red Bull Arena gets to have a little break for a day because it's been being used. Looking down the fixtures, same night Montreal are using it so not much. DC v Atlanta, it's the battle of the what can we describe this as? Whoever loses this one, I think it's game over.
Who
really
can be more rubbish?
Yeah, DC United. I lost again last night to New England. That's poor results. I think that'll be an interesting game just because, like you said, it's some team needs to break out of his funk and, well, we'll see. Toronto, Philadelphia, that's probably my pick for the East, actually. Two teams at the top of the conference. Toronto beat Columbus last night in Connecticut. I was quite surprised with that because I looked at that match before and I thought, no. We know what it's like when teams are playing at stadiums that aren't their own, especially because it's not an MLS stadium. 0-0. 3-1. They smashed it. They went 1-0 behind, but turned it round. So 3-1. So well done to Toronto. And that game, that could be a supporter shield decider at this rate.
Yeah, it's bizarre because we realise that we're running out of games now. It feels like we've only just got started and then there's only a few games left. So these are starting to really matter. Couple more from me. Both the teams we talked about at the start of the podcast, Vancouver and San Jose. So Vancouver are playing away at Seattle, who are in incredible form, but then Vancouver just randomly get results. So who knows what could happen there. And San Jose against LA Galaxy. I mean, again, it's another competition of who can be worse.
And into Miami, I've got both New York sides in the next 10 days. Yeah. So there's no matches in the week this week, but there's midweek matches next week. So that'll give Higuain more chance to train with his teammates. Yeah. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. He will score in one of those two games.
He needs to practice pens. I know that.
He does. And finally, just in time for the next episode, next Thursday, the 8th of October here in the UK. Well, it's midnight, so it's technically Wednesday night, but it's Thursday. Atlanta v Orlando. So if I go missing between Tuesday, the 6th of October, and then for the next couple of weeks, you'll know why, because I don't want to see anything to do with that game.
Yeah, with your home form, that could be interesting.
With our away form, that would be interesting.
Well, yeah, true. Let's round off the episode with the answer to the game with the changing name.
Oh, I don't have a clue. I'm going to... Leicester players from that era. Muzzy, is it? Was it?
It's not Muzzy, is it?
No.
I think he is one, though, isn't he?
I'm not sure, actually. So, right, you tell us who this player's played for again, and I'll check if Muzzy is it played in MLS.
Sure, Muzzy is it played in MLS. Anyway, 99 to 2005, Leicester City, 110 appearances. Also played for Watford 105 times between 2005 and 2008. Moved to Derby 2008 to 2009. Also played for Sheffield United, a random Greek team called Skoda. Millwall, Notts County, Coventry, and played for the San Jose Earthquakes 71 times between 2013 and 2016.
Have Birmingham City ever played in MLS?
No.
No, Muzzy has never played in MLS.
That's
I don't know. I don't have a clue.
The answer is English left back Jordan Stewart.
Oh, Jordan Stewart. I did know this. I've watched a podcast with him being interviewed recently.
Brilliant.
I did know that. I knew it. That's annoying.
San Jose? Yeah. 2013?
I always enjoy watching the... Because, again, that's become a bit popular now, where podcasts will just interview players from, like, the noughties or the 90s. Yeah. And I do enjoy hearing that especially with English players or British players, and it goes at the end. And then you went over to play for Colorado Rapids. What was that like?
Yeah.
That's my favourite bit. I watched 2 hours of a podcast just to be like... Tell us, and he goes to 2 minutes. Yeah, it was good, yeah.
Yeah, it's all right.
And then I move back. thanks very much for watching. Subscribe to us on YouTube and through your podcast provider as well. And, it would really help us out if you could like the YouTube video, but rate us on your podcast provider. But Elliot, there is one rule, and one rule only.
5 stars only. LA Galaxy rule.
That's the one. And thankfully for us, it doesn't look like LA Galaxy are going to make it six.
Yeah, that will spoil it.
So that would really help us out. So thank you in advance. And we'll be back next time after another Orlando victory against Atlanta.
I'll do one just ahead of it because I'm that confident now. Get in!
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.